I skipped over that point. That the Brahmin, when he's explaining that the king is a better devotee, one thing he does say is that, I'm a Brahmin. It's my duty to do all this sort of thing, puja, and so on and so forth. But the king, it's not really his duty. He just likes doing it spontaneously. Yeah. And just to get back to this point about where Maharaj Parikshit heard it from, there is not a mention here of specifically where he heard it from, although he says that this work has been approved by the greatest sages in devotional service. But it wasn't like he had offered his whole life and himself and everything. There was... Now, this point is made in Bhagavad Gita about the difference between karma yoga and bhakti yoga, that in karma yoga, there's a sense of things being mine, but I offer them. But in bhakti yoga, there's not really a sense of things being mine. In fact, even I am not mine. I belong to Krishna. Yeah. So that element appears to be there with the Brahmin devotee. That he was happy, you know, it's like he doesn't mind offering everything to the Lord. In fact, he's happy to offer it. And he even offers whatever benefit he got, he offers to the Lord. So there is that sense of separateness, which is not so much there in pure devotional service.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I wonder how many of you got around to reading through these first pages of our study guide? A few. Okay. Well, that's good. And for those of you who didn't, well, anyway, we'll try our best. It's actually good. This study guide has, as far as the point that we were mentioning yesterday is concerned, of how Narada Muni arrives in some place and meets some particular devotee and then glorifies that devotee as the recipient of the greatest mercy of the Lord, and then the refutation given by that devotee, and then the proposal by that devotee who may actually be the greatest recipient. It is presented nicely in the study guide. Actually, there is more detail, and in fact, we will give more detail, but the basic ideas are there, and it's very, very good. So, yesterday, Narada Muni was on the Earth planet, and he met that one Brahmin devotee, then he met the South Indian king, and they're both very impressive devotees, particularly the South Indian king is really quite outstanding. But the South Indian king very emphatically told Srila Narada Muni that it's not me. I am not the recipient of the Lord's greatest mercy. The demigods are. And even amongst the demigods, particularly Lord Indra is, and he gave various reasons. So Narada Muni became inspired. And, of course, he's a transcendental spaceman, so he can travel interplanetarily without any difficulty. So he just went flying off to Swargaloka, Indraloka, the top planet of the demigods. There are different levels of demigods. There are millions of demigods. The top demigod, though, is Indra. In fact, Indra means king. And that's a post. Our Indra, his name is Purandara, our current Indra, the current king of the demigods. His name is Purandara. So, yeah. Of course, he's not as high as Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma, or Lord Shiva. They have their places higher also. But other than them, pretty much other than them, at least amongst the demigods, amongst the controllers of the universe, Lord Indra, he is the highest, and his planet is the highest other than the planets of those three main deities, guna avatars. Amongst the demigods, Lord Indra's planet is the highest. So Narada Muni went flying off to Swargaloka, came flying in, and what did he see? Who did he see? He saw Lord Vamana surrounded by demigods, and particularly Lord Indra was there, very prominent amongst those demigods, most prominent. So they were all worshipping the Lord Brihaspati, the priest of the demigods. He was glorifying the Lord. Aditi, who is the mother of Lord Vamana and Indra, she was pampering him as an affectionate mother will do to her very dear young son. And he was reciprocating by giving them different ornaments and presentations of his different paraphernalias and various other persons, the Siddhas, Gandharvas, Apsaras. Well, they're all demigods, actually, but they are quite lower, particularly the Apsaras and the Gandharvas. They're quite lower amongst the demigods, although they are demigods. So they were reciting prayers, singing, dancing. It was a very festive scene there on Swargaloka. Everyone was very excited. And Lord Vamana, speaking in a voice deliberately so everyone could hear what he was saying, he assured Indra in very protective, affectionate but protective mood, "Don't worry about the demons. I'll protect you. It's all right." Yes, don't worry about the demons. And Indra was reciprocating or responding by telling the Lord, "Yes, I know, I have faith that you will protect me from the demons, because you have done in the past." And he was reciting different experiences, different pastimes that took place previously when the demons attacked, but the Lord intervened and saved the situation. So this was the scene that Narada Muni saw when he came flying in to Swargaloka, the planet of Lord Indra. So Narada Muni came before Lord Indra and glorified him, that you are the recipient of the Lord's greatest mercy because, and we could just look at our study guide. We're on page 4, point 2. Here, Narada Muni is explaining to Indra. It's a little bit simplified version. I'll give you a little bit more of the detail here. Narada Muni tells Lord Indra that you are such a great leader that all the demigods like Surya, Chandra, and Yamaraj, these are particularly prominent demigods, the demigod in control of the sun. All life is dependent on the sun. The demigod in control of the moon. He is in charge of our minds. So, that's also a very important role. And Yamaraj, extremely important role. He is supervising the movements of all the living entities. So these are the biggest demigods, really. So Narada Muni says, you are such a great leader that all the demigods, including these biggest amongst the demigods, they all obey you. And not only that, but, second point, even great sages like me, like himself, Narada says, we are your citizens, we are your subjects. You are ruling us, too. In a manner of speaking, of course, it's like that when it comes to the really great sages and particularly people like Narada. But on a certain level, it appears that the great sages and saintly persons, they are dependents of Lord Indra. He is really a very big person, actually. Then, third point, the Vedic scriptures, particularly the Rig Veda and some other literatures connected with it, but Narada Muni says in a broad sense, the Vedic literatures praise you as Lord of the universe. You might know that particularly the Rig Veda and other of the four Vedas, some others, but particularly the Rig Veda, they really focus on Indra. Because, after all, as we have said, he is the chief of the demigods, other than Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. So when it comes to Karmakandiya, he is the biggest authority in very immediate and direct terms. So the Rig Veda, or the four Vedas, 96% of which is the Karmakandiya section, they do focus on Lord Indra, really a lot, and particularly Rig Veda. So they praise him, the Vedas praise him as Lord of the universe, and he has the capacity to send people to heaven or to hell. You may recall yesterday the king said something like that, that he can curse and he can benedict, and not simply in like mechanical terms, that someone does a specific thing for which there's specific karmic reactions, and so the demigod can really do no more than give that specific karmic reaction. But Indra has some further degree of independence, and Narada Muni, like we mentioned yesterday, you know, he represents. First of all, he hears the one devotee explain why the next devotee is really so glorious and has received so much mercy. Then Narada Muni comes along and explains that to that next devotee. But as we'll see, he doesn't just repeat exactly verbatim, but he kind of condenses, or, you know, there's some variations, although the themes are generally there. So he says that Indra, he tells Indra, you have the special power You can send people to heaven or hell. So, and, you know, he's doing that with a lot of people. And, of course, very important point, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is your younger brother and treats you with the respect which is normally due an elder brother. In other words, the Supreme Lord takes you as being senior to him. So you really, you've got a lot of mercy. So Lord Indra responds by saying that actually I am not at all fortunate. Lord Indra tells Narada Muni, you're speaking like a Gandharva. Gandharva, the meaning of that is that Gandharvas are very clever and very tricky. They're expert actors. So, they're expert at manipulating people through falsely praising or ridiculing them or something like that. They can just play with people's minds, build them up, let them down, and so on and so forth. These are the Gandharvas. They're really very clever. So Indra tells Narada Muni that you're speaking to me like a Gandharva. In other words, you're making fun of me. I haven't received any of the Lord's mercy. In fact, he gives me a hard time. He puts me into so much difficulty that it is very hard to tolerate. So please, don't joke with me and mock me. Don't do that. Then he gives a number of reasons. They are mentioned here in the third paragraph, or some of them, or quite a few of them even. Let us just go through them here as I've got them from my notes. Yeah, he says that me and my fellow demigods, we have been kicked out of the heavenly planets many times by the demons, and we've had to hide, or even sometimes we had to disguise ourselves in very embarrassing ways. Sometimes Indra has disguised himself as a sannyasi. Yes. So, Indra, poor Indra, who was very ecstatic there, worshipping Lord Vamana, he was crying, profuse downpour of tears from his 1,000 eyes. At times like that, he thinks that I'm very glad I have 1,000 eyes, because now I can properly express my feelings. But now he's just disturbed. He's disturbed that we get kicked out. We have to disguise ourselves. We have to hide. So what does this do, this statement? Well, one thing it does, if you can recall from yesterday, some of the things that the king said, it more or less refutes the statement by the king that the demigods, on the strength of their good fortune, they live in the realm of heaven like it's home. They just belong there. It's their natural place. It's their place. It is completely their place. It is not completely their place. They don't know when the next time will be that the demons will kick them out, and then they won't know what to do. And the king also said that the demigods can act and travel however they like. So they cannot just act and travel as they like. Sometimes they have to travel, they have to hit the road and just head for the hills and hide from the demons. So Indra refutes those claims made by the king. Then he gives an example, which is mentioned here on page 4 in the study guide, how Bali Maharaj once took over the heavenly planets and took over Indra's throne and everything, and took his share of all sacrifices, put his own friends in as the demigods, and this refutes the claim of Narada. Narada has made his first claim that Indra is the leader of the demigods who obey him. So the point is that sometimes the demigods are not in a position to obey him. They lose their control. So in that way, his position as leader of people who are not able to follow him, it becomes meaningless. So that happened when Bali Maharaj took over. Then the Lord appeared. There's some very nice points here. The Lord appeared, although not in his full form. Indra says he appeared as a mere partial incarnation. That's all. Just a very minor form of the Lord appeared. It was very embarrassing for Indra. This not so important form of the Lord appeared. Then he only appeared after some considerable delay, and during that time Indra almost died of hunger and thirst, which refutes the idea that he's, and the demigods, always enjoying the nectar of immortality, which we heard yesterday. So he took his time, and then he appeared eventually, but in just a very, you know, relatively not very important form. And then in a deceptive way, he begged my kingdom back. In a very dishonorable way, Indra's pride has been hurt here. That the Lord came, a minor form, he came late. And in a very deceptive way, he cheated Bali Maharaj, took back my kingdom, and gave it to me. He didn't even come like a real Kshatriya and fight. And he didn't kill him either. He let him live. So I don't know when he's going to come back, Bali Maharaj, and try again. So like this. Yeah. So, in this way, Indra feels that the Supreme Lord, he doesn't take me seriously. Then he says that us demigods, and him in particular, but all the demigods, that we are contaminated with faults like jealousy, rivalry. In this way, he defeats the king's idea. What was the king's idea in this regard? That the demigods are fixed in the mode of goodness. So Indra says, we're not fixed in the mode of goodness, and particularly me. That sometimes I commit serious sins, like I have killed Brahmins before, Vritrasura, Vishvarup, I murdered them. You know, I was reading through that this afternoon, and the verses, there's one verse that says that even though Indra killed Vishvarup, he could have avoided the reactions. So there, he is so powerful. He's so independent. He could have avoided the reactions to groups of persons. Anyway, he says here that we demigods, and me in particular, we're jealous. There's rivalry. Sometimes I've committed very serious sins. So the king had said, of course, that the demigods are not only sattvic, but they are free from sin. But Indra says, we're not free from sin. And we're always fearful of losing our posts. Therefore, they are not always effulgent. When a person is in anxiety, when they're really in anxiety, you can see. And any sort of blissful, you know, glow of jolliness and satisfaction is not there. So Indra says that we're always frightened of losing our posts. Constantly obsessed by that. Prabhupada talks about this on a number of occasions. In the fourth canto, of course, Indra sent his son. No. Indra came himself and stole the horse from King Prithu when he was trying to do his 100th horse sacrifice. Then when Vishvamitra was doing his austerities, then Indra sent Menaka. So he's just really on the edge all the time. Is someone going to come and throw me out? So he says, we're hardly better than ordinary men. We're not really better than ordinary people. Then he says, as far as my personal relationship, personal interactions with my so-called younger, you know, respectful younger brother are concerned, Lord Vamana, don't you know how contemptuously he treats me? Didn't you hear how he stole the Parijata tree and the Sudharma assembly hall and took them down to the earth planet? And he defeated me in battle. So what sort of respectful treatment of an older brother is that? And he took, not only that, but he took the Parijata tree and the assembly hall down to the earth planet, which is the planet of human beings, and that means that we are not favored above the human beings. Because that was another thing that the king had said, that they're higher than the human beings. Their facilities and everything are much better than the human beings. Well, it's not true, he says. And the king had said that Lord Indra has this wonderful Nandana garden, but that Parijata tree was from the Nandana garden, and it was one of the best trees, or even the best tree, but he lost that. Then Lord Indra says that, haven't you heard about how my younger brother stopped the inhabitants of Vrindavan from doing their traditional worship of me? So he's not very respectful to me. And then there was the Kandava forest. It was very dear to Lord Indra. But one time when Agni had a stomach ache, then Lord Vishnu, or Krishna, got Arjuna to burn down the whole Kandava forest just to cure Agni's stomach ache. And on top of that, Arjuna is Indra's son. So he's undermining my relationship with my own son. So what sort of special relationship do I have with him? He just gives me a hard time, actually. There's no mercy involved at all. Then he says that when Vritrasura came,